You know, every message that I, you know, present, I give a lot of thought and prayer into it, and I walk, and you know, a lot of times I get a lot of thought time in walking the dog, or no matter what I'm doing, driving down the road, my thoughts are always in what I'm going to present on Sunday mornings. It seems like that's where my heart is always taking me. You know, I get distracted by a lot of things in life, but it seems like it's always on my mind about what I need, what God wants me to say, or to, you know, how I'm to present His gospel to this generation especially. And that's not an easy task. And it seems like we hear a lot of great messages. I've been in the Nazarene church for, well, Lee and I's been married 32 years, and our anniversary's coming up September 1st again, and it just seems to fly by, you know, like that. I remember getting married right here in this church. Some of you are probably here then, but many years we've heard some great messages throughout the years. Some good, strong messages. We've been taught some good lessons through Sunday school. This is not even in my message this morning, but I just feel like God leading me to say this. But are we doing what is being taught to us? Are we actually putting that into practice? Are we living our lives out in that manner of what we're being taught and through the messages that we heard? You know, a few months back was Easter, and we celebrated the resurrection of Christ, His being raised from the dead. But to some, that's not a big deal. To some, they could care less about that. It's not a big deal to them because they've heard the message. I talk to a lot of people that they've either been to church at a point in their life, or they was, you know, they went to church with their parents, but at some point in their life they walked away from the church and they never went back. Some of them have even changed their mind. Their ideology has been changed, and they don't even believe it, that there really is a God. People who were raised in the church, I know. That's hard for us to understand, but some people don't celebrate that Easter like we do. You know, but for me, every day ought to be a celebration, for just like Easter Sunday was. It ought to be a celebration that Christ was raised from the dead. That's a big deal to me. Christ's resurrection from the dead. Christ promised for those who put their faith in Him. Amen. He promises eternal life. He promises forgiveness of our sins. He paid that price on that day. Romans chapter 8 this morning, starting in verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, you want to look, I think it's coming up on the screen. I'll give you a minute. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? Right there, right off the bat. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Amen?
Amen.
The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Amen. Through His Spirit who lives in you. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, let it be just imprinted. Let it be just photocopied into our minds that when we leave here, it's an image that we can't forget. Lord, I praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, does that get your attention this morning? Does that encourage you this morning? We have come here after being told and taught that Jesus is all He says He is, and we can have all He says that He is willing to give us. Amen. You believe that today. Condemnation is condemning. And it is bringing up your past with things that you have been that's been brought before the Lord in prayer that He has forgiven you for. And some people really struggle with that. Some people really have a struggle with that, and they brought their sin before the Lord in a sincere heart, and they've asked Him for forgiveness. And He has forgiven them because that is the goodness of the grace of God. He is forgiving. The Bible says if we confess our sins that He is faithful to forgive us of our sins. Yet some struggle with that. It's just like Jesus is not enough. They keep allowing the devil to bring these sins against them even though God has forgiven us of them. God has forgiven, yet some people have not forgiven themselves. Truly, that's what it comes down to. You know, God convicts, but the devil condemns, and it's the one way we can know who is speaking to us is what voice we're listening to is what that voice is telling us. Because if you're struggling with past things that keep being brought up to your mind, know that that's not God. That's not because Christ has already forgiven you for that. Amen? Isn't that wonderful to know? There is no condemnation. I myself, I don't want to be just on my good behavior when people are watching me. I want to live in a way that pleases the Lord all the time. Amen? And I know that's not easy. We have to catch ourselves at times. We have to repent at times. That's part of our humanity. But I don't want to be controlled by my sinful nature. I don't want to listen to that. I want to live in a free state of knowing that Christ set me free and forgave me. Amen?
Amen.
I want to become who Christ wants me to be. It's being convicted by the Lord and making changes as He sees fit and not listening to the devil condemning me and pulling me down for things that the Lord has already forgiven me for. Amen. Christ has already forgiven me. This morning I want to look at these some things that I have got written down here today. And how can we be sensitive when the Lord is convicting us and moving us closer to Him and illuminating sin? And how can we identify when the devil is condemning us and actually pulling us away from the Lord and isolating us from receiving what the Lord has for us? How can God use us for His glory, and by what power are we able to do that? Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 11 there says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus Christ He has set us free. I love that. By saying amen to that, you say amen to that today? You are saying that that is true. That is true for you in your life. That is saying, so be it for the rest of my life. Amen?
Amen.
Because through Christ, Jesus has set us free. Christ has set us free, and if we're believers, He's willing to set us free. Amen?
Amen.
If you believe in Him, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You know, Satan's always, always trying to beat us down. And he never seems to quit. And he uses those things that we've done in the past a lot of times to say, see, I know who you really are. See, I know what you did. That's what Satan does. He tries to bring those things up to make you feel like you're not set free. That's condemnation that doesn't come from God. Conviction, on the other hand, is from God. I'll tell you that. Conviction can be a pretty miserable state to be in at times. It shows our error. It shows what not is. God is telling us what doesn't please Him. He's showing us those things that He would want us to change. He does that in a very strong persuasion at times. Because I'm telling you, He will let you know when you're wrong. He wants you to come back to that relationship with Him. One pushes us away from God, and the other one brings us closer to God. One draws us towards God, and we have believers today that the devil has consistently beat up for things in their past. The things that God said were under the blood of Christ, they're forgiven, but they need to move forward in the grace of God, in the love of God. That's how we get past it. We keep our eyes on Jesus. We also have believers that have been convicted by the Holy Spirit as well, compelling them to do what's right or to right a wrong, compelling them to draw back to God. You know, we need to heed to the conviction and get into a right relationship with the Father in heaven. You see, there's a hole in most people's holiness. We have become too comfortable and at peace with worldliness and the sinful nature. Too much at ease with sin in our lives, and we form our own holiness. I'm not holy because I do a certain thing, or because I don't smoke or drink or chew, or like the one guy said, or go with girls that do. You know, that's not what makes me holy. It's not how I dress. It's not how I comb my hair. It's not anything to do with that. The only thing that makes me holy is God living within me. That's it. And without the Spirit living within me, there's no way I can be holy. And I want to say this. Jesus is a complete Savior. Amen? There's nothing more than you need than Jesus Christ in your life. You can't add anything to it or take anything away from it, because He is complete. He said it on the cross. It is finished. Amen? It's over. Once you accept Him, it's finished. Amen? Don't let Satan bring your past in your face and tell you you're not saved, because Christ finished the work that He started. Amen?
Amen.
He does not only take away the guilt of my sins and your sin. He does more than that. He breaks the power of sin in your life if you walk in the Spirit. Amen. You have the choice. We believe in free will. You have a choice to walk in the Spirit, to be connected to the vine, he also says, Jesus says. If you're connected to the vine, you're okay. But being away from the vine, being disconnected, not walking in the Spirit is what I'm trying to say. He says also, be holy as he is holy. And we need to live our lives like the Spirit of God is directing us. Amen?
Amen.
We will fully embrace that freedom. We'll understand it when we understand who Christ is. And the only way we can understand who Christ is when we surrender to Him and allow Him to control our lives and not ourselves. We downplay the Scripture that tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, because it's not by our works that we are saved. It's by the work that He did. Amen?
Amen.
You know, the Scripture also says that we are to cleanse ourselves from any defilement of the body and spirit. Sometimes I think we want to tear those pages out. We want to skip over those things that we don't want to hear. Ephesians 5:15 says, look carefully then at how you walk. Are you watching where you step? Are you watching where you walk? You ever try to walk down a gravel trail or go out to Giant City and walk those trails out there with a blindfold on? I don't think any of us would make it, probably.
No, probably not.
Unless we were guided by somebody.
That's true.
And that's what Jesus does. Jesus, he'll take you by the hand and lead you through. Amen? There is freedom in Christ. Thank God for that. Amen?
Amen.
Also, let me remind you again, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And we need to make sure that we're in that right relationship with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You know, there was a guy named Pete. Pete was a drunk. But he got converted at a city mission. Before his conversion, he had gained a reputation as a bum and an alcoholic. People thought there was no hope for Pete. But when he was converted, everything changed in Pete's life, and he became the most caring person at the mission. He spent all of his days there doing whatever needed to be done, and there was never anything he was asked to do that he didn't do. Whether it was cleaning up the vomit or the urine-stained seats or scrubbing the toilets used by whoever, Pete did it all with a heart of gratitude. He could be counted on to feed any man who wandered in off the streets and care for his needs, and he was unable to care for themselves. One evening after the mission, the director delivered a wonderful message, and a man with his head dropped down came forward and knelt down, and he cried out. He said, he shouted, "Oh God, make me like Pete. God, please make me like Pete." And the director, pastor, came over and he leaned down and he said, "Wouldn't it be better to pray to make me like Jesus?" And the man looked up and he says, "Is he like Pete?" They may not know Jesus, but people will react to what they perceive in you and who is living in you. You can tell them how holy you are by how you live in your life. That's what it comes down to. Verse 8 there says, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. We have to change our focus at times. If you're here this morning and the devil beats you up with the past, change your focus. Stop listening to him and start listening to the Lord that says, all that's behind you. I have forgiven you. So let's move on. If you're here this morning and the Lord is convicting you and compelling you to draw close to him, change your focus. Stop thinking about self and listen to what the Lord is telling you. You know, it's kind of like Israel. They could never see Canaan, the promised land, because they always had their eyes on the past of what it was like when they were in Egypt. For some of us, it's like that. We like to tell God that we like Egypt too. We hold on to the world. We got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And I'm afraid for so many, the world's winning. We can't, as the old saying says, and you've heard it many times before, you can't straddle the fence. I've straddled a barbed wire fence or two in my time. And let me tell you, it's not comfortable. We have to let go of the past. Sometimes we think about the good times that we had. God's telling us you'll never know the freedom from Canaan as long as you're hanging on to it. Amen.
Amen.
You will never experience all I have for you hanging on to your good old days. Truth is, they're not as great as what's played out in our minds at times. There has to be an attitude change as well as an allegiance change. Where's your allegiance at this morning? Are you living for Christ? You know, when we're in control of our life, we will never live in freedom. When we turn our control over to Christ, we can understand what true freedom is. When God controls it, we are promised that to be set free. You know, we can't take credit for our holiness. It is Christ and Christ alone that makes us holy. And if the Father cannot see Jesus in you, you're not holy. I know that sounds harsh. I pray every day when I look in the mirror that I don't see my reflection, I see Christ in the mirror. I wish we could all pray that. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see defeat? Do you see discourage? Or do you see freedom? Because you see Christ in the mirror who lives within you. Amen. It starts with yourself. It doesn't start with everybody else sitting around you. It starts with you allowing Christ to control your life. Verse 10 says, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That tells me that I'm secure in Christ, and As sure as I'm standing here this morning, I'm sure of Christ's resurrection. Amen. I'm sure of His mercy and grace. I'm sure that He has forgiven me of my past. I'm sure of that. And it tells me, the Scripture tells me that I can live a victorious life. How many here this morning wants to live a victorious life? Amen?
Amen.
I don't think any of us here would want to leave here without living a victorious life. Amen? Having that knowledge, that understanding. We need to start moving towards the presence of God and not moving away from it. Jesus said that being a Christian is not always easy. He made that pretty clear in the Scripture. And sometimes I think we think it ought to be all easy. But sometimes it's not. There's people in this world that don't agree with how we believe. We're seeing that right now more so than ever. You know, Jesus said that we have the power to cast out demons. We have the power to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. We can tell the enemy to take his hands off our families because we have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. That's what the Scripture tells us. Jesus said, "You'll do greater things than I ever did." Man, that's a powerful statement. That's a big responsibility to do greater things than Jesus did. And for the apostles, it meant giving their life for Christ. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You may prove that. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Only Christ can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. That's for some of us this morning, or some of you this morning, you may not really understand truly that God desires more from you than you can. He wants more of your life. He wants to change your life forever. Maybe some of you are here this morning that no longer want to live a life with regret. And you desire for that Spirit to help you get rid of that past that keeps holding you back. You know, I've learned that there's many levels to people that are unbelievers by choice. There are unbelievers searching for answers. And there are believers living below where God wants them to be. God will always ask you to go a little higher. Amen. Paul even said, right before, not too long before he was to be executed, he said, he wrote a letter and he said, "Not that I've attained it all, but I keep pressing on." And that wasn't going down. That was going higher, because God is always calling us higher to be better. And that's why I pray that prayer. I hope we leave here better this morning than we came. One step closer to Christ, one step closer every day to Christ. They're uncommitted believers and they struggle every day with their lives. I see people that call themselves Christians, but they struggle so much in their spirit. And then I see energized believers that live by the Spirit of God leading them and directing their lives, and they live victorious and empowered lives, happy through all kinds of things that go on in life that we know that happens. Which one are you this morning? Which life do you want to live? You have a choice. The life that you want to lead, it's your choice. You can choose to live in freedom and live victoriously. It's up to you. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In just a moment, we're going to have communion together. Such an important thing to remember Christ and what He did for each and every one of us. He said, do this in remembrance of me. When you do this, remember me. Remember what I've done for you. Remember all the good things. Remember the parables. Remember the stories. Remember these things. Don't forget them. Remember, there's freedom when you accept me.